Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Joining us to, well, try and answer the question, what does all this mean? If religiosity in America is softening, as Dr. Mark Shaves of Duke University suggests from his research, what does that mean? I'm especially curious about whether or not robust religious faith may not actually be in evidence in the United States as much as many people believe it is, as evidence from the growth of the megachurch and political influence of religion. Joining us to talk about this, Shane Rosenthal, producer of the network radio program The White Horse Inn, and a regular guest. Shane, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, good to be with you.
What did you make of the findings of the research in general?
Well, I basically agree with it. I just anecdotally have noticed a sort of similar trends, just in my own observation of what's been going on the last few decades. I mean, when he argues that in the 1950s there were basically 3% of people who were polled said, put down no religion on their answer, but today 20%, I mean, that is a huge increase. But I think when you look at the character of movies, when you look at music, popular culture, various people's conversation, I think that is borne out. There's been a coarsening of American culture, and those who sort of have no religious affiliation, no interest in religion, I think those people have grown larger and more and have become more vocal.
Were you surprised, and I actually was, to hear that among that 20%, that growing none of the aboves are people who really have no religious category into which they fit themselves, they don't self-identify religiously, that they're among those people still people who are going to church?
Yeah, and that I think fits somewhat with the general flavor of Western spirituality, and that is in the West, in the Christian West, but in the Western culture in general, religion has come to be defined as spirituality, that which is sort of therapeutic, that which helps you get along, that which makes you nicer, the things that are good for weddings and to build a strong moral character in your kids. That's why people go to church when they have kids. But a lot of people in the West have found that there's something wanting in that whole scheme. And I think that may explain why there is a departure from people who are saying, look, my mom would have put Baptist, but I'm going to put nothing.
I'm wondering whether or not, now I think many evangelicals will look at the results of American religion contemporary trends and say, well, this has happened in spite of our best efforts. I wonder, Shane, has it happened in part, in the case of evangelicalism, because of their best efforts?
Well, that's certainly the thesis of people like Christian Smith, who argues when he actually polls, thousands of individual Christian youth, religious youth from various backgrounds, that they all have the same basic view of religion, that God is there to help us, it's moralistic, it's therapeutic, and it's deistic. So in that kind of a situation, if God is your butler, that is a very easy sort of preparation for into atheism. It certainly should be distinguished by people like you and I from classical Christianity. And if megachurches and most popular churches in this country, which according to Christian Smith's polls and surveys, if they are passing that faith down to the next generation, that implies that that's what they themselves believe, And I don't think is a good statistic for us, but I do think it does help to explain some of these figures.
Then could it be that what we're watching here is really the beginning of the long-term effects of what evangelicalism has become in the last 50 years?
I think that's plausible. I do think we should recall, though, that this is limited to the secular West. Dinesh D'Souza, in his book, What's So Great About Christianity, argues that this particular decline is real, but it's real in the secular West. Everywhere else in the world, basically, religion and religious adherents are growing, and they're growing exponentially. There's a real increase in Christianity in Africa. There's a real increase of Islam throughout the world. And if you go country by country, it's mostly second and third world countries where religion is really on the rise. And he brings that out to sort of point to the new atheists, really, who are saying that religion is dead and it's over. They do have a point, but it's over in the West where it has been sort of become a shadow of its former self. And that's basically what Nietzsche argued, that, you know, the people had neutered God and he became a mascot, and so God died. And that's still the West is still struggling with that.
But not so
in other places.
With only about 30 seconds before we take a break here, Shane, I'm wondering also whether or not what we've seen here is kind of a multi-generational outcome for Christians who have been, what shall we say, been told that Christianity is basically a self-help program, but it has failed to be that self-help program. About 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's a huge part of this, because the way religion has become defined in the secular West, it's something that gives you solace and comfort. It's for the spiritually inclined. But people who are raised in the secular West, especially in the urban centers, they think that's a joke. I mean, they see the bankruptcy of all of that. They see the religion as sentimental garbage. And the only people that are out defending it are doing so, saying you just have to have faith, you have to experience it, you have to try it because it works. But they say, look, we've seen placebos, we've seen the late-night infomercials, and we're just not interested, thank you.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're talking about a new study titled American Religion, Contemporary Trends. More with him after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're analyzing some of the findings in a new study titled American Religion Contemporary Trends. Shane Rosenthal, producer of the network radio program The White Horse Inn, is our guest. You'll find a link to The White Horse Inn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Shane, pick up where you left off. You were talking about the failure of kind of the try it, you'll like it approach of Christianity to the culture. Where exactly does that failure lie?
Well, it's basically, it tells the average person who's listening to the religious speech, the religious claim, the religious advertisement, that try it, you'll like it, but that just fits in with all the other try it, you'll like it campaigns that they're used to. They're bombarded with those kinds of things, and that is not what you see in the pages of the Book of Acts. You don't have people saying, "Look at me! Look at wonderful experiences I have! Look at the amazing change in my life." What you find are proclamations of truth, or at least claims to truth, of a particular rabbi who was dead one day and alive the next, and then also the matching of all that with prophecies from hundreds of years before. So it's a base. Christianity is rooted in a truth claim, and I think part of the trend that we're seeing is rooted in the failure of Christians to interact with our culture, with the failure of apologetics, with the failure of defending and presenting the kinds of arguments for the truth of Christianity that we see in the Book of Acts, where people were reasoning in the synagogues, where people were discussing and debating whether or not these fulfilled prophecies really were about Christ. All that's material that is missing in the way we interact with non-Christians. And I think a lot of our urban centers, there aren't really a whole lot of Christians to interact with in the first place.
Were you surprised, and I think this has come out in studies 20 years ago, were you surprised that American religion contemporary trends discovered that a lot of the growth of the megachurch is transfer growth from smaller churches to bigger churches?
No, that's not a surprise for me. We interviewed on our program a year or two ago Washington Post reporter Julia Dewan, and she had similar conclusions that basically in her reporting and her surveys, she had found that a lot of the megachurch work, there were a lot of the megachurches were sucking people out of the traditional churches in the area, but that particular door in the megachurch was a revolving door. There were a lot of people coming in and out because they were basically finding that, you know, the whole religion as self-help, once you enter that door of self-help, you're at the food court in the mall, and there are a lot of people who are offering better vehicles for self-fulfillment, where you don't have these strange parables and difficult words from Jesus, but more just try this and meditate this prayer, and you'll actually get an immediate result.
What is at the other end of that revolving door? If the entrance is from, as you said, from traditional churches to larger mega churches, and then the big revolving door turns and you're kind of spit out on the other side after, well, Willow Creek found about 3 to 5 years, you'll get spit out on the other side. What's on the other side?
According to Julia Dewan, she found that most people, a lot of them, when they left the church, they weren't going anywhere, and they still claimed to be "quote unquote" spiritual, but they felt a little bit burned by the church. They felt that they were not being shepherded. They did feel like there was no accountability. They felt like it was all a joke. They felt like it was all entertainment. And there are a lot of people like that who are just not being fed.
You talked about at the beginning of our conversation the general coarsening of American culture as part of what's behind this. What about the general polarization of American culture?
Yeah, I think that's a part of it as well, because if you look at the just general trends, I mean, I think all of us would agree that in the last couple of decades, we've seen political polarization. People are, if you are conservative, you're more conservative now than you were before. If you're liberal, you're more liberal now, you're more aware of liberalism. So people have they've moved away from the center and more towards their perspective camps. So you'll have, before, 20 years ago, you just had an NBC, and it was kind of general, but now you have MSNBC or Fox News, And those are much more clear. Clearly, one's conservative and the other is liberal. Well, that's also true in theological centers as well. So I think part of the move towards the 3% 1950s, no religion, and then 20%, is that people are moving away from the center. They're realizing there is no more perfume in the vase. It's just this whole God is a mascot, to bless our wedding and funerals is kind of a joke. I'm going to move towards that side. But there's also the other side of that coin, and that is people like you and I who recognize the bankruptcy, basically, of the moralistic therapeutic deism and who are becoming more invested in our own respective traditions.
If the church historically has identified itself as a sacramental community, I think both of our traditions would recognize that in different ways, but we would both say that that's very important. And then the church of modern America no longer identifies itself as a sacramental community or even really a Bible community, but as just a community. Does that account for part of what we're seeing here?
Yes, because it means we are the message. This was very apparent when I attended some emergent conventions over various years and heard that kind of thing from people like Brian McLaren at various conferences, where he said, the people come together, form a community, and out of that comes theology. Well, he's just parroting, basically, what came out of the World Council of Churches and the mainline denominations of the 20s, 30s, 40s. And basically, it's a neoliberalism. Instead of your best life now, conservative side, it's your best world now, and it's forming community. And it's not centered in a radical truth claim, a radical gospel, a radical truth about the visitation of God to His people and what He's done to save us from our sins. That is a radical truth claim, a radical message that it's the heart of who we are as classical Christians, and that, I think, is just missing from... it'd be great if the people who are moving towards atheism at least had that to reject. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't even know that particular story because they haven't heard it.
So just in terms of the raw percentages, and we both recognize this, that in the 1950s, as you said before, 3% of Americans said they don't have any religious affiliation. Today, as many as 20% says. That's growing. It's still a very fast-growing group of American people on the religious landscape of America. Pop American evangelicalism has certainly taken notice of that. How do you expect them to respond? With about a minute here.
Unfortunately, I'm not optimistic about that. I think the best way to respond is not through moral pleas, but or by exciting, you've seen the typical megachurch campaigns for young teenagers for this particular extreme adventure camp. That's the typical way of it's behind the times kind of approach that where you are trying to attract the world by its own methodology, making things relevant and cutting edge. But I think people are so over advertised, they're so niche demographic marketed to. And they're tired of it, and they want something real, and they want it from in real, tangible people, not from media outlets. And what we need is, to have fulfilled what Jesus asked us to pray for, to have leaders rise up because the harvest is plentiful, and so we should pray for God to send laborers for His harvest.
Shane Rosenthal is producer of the network radio program called The White Horse Inn. Shane, thank you again.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
It's always helpful when our listeners are willing to promote issues, etc. And, we've never really had too much trouble with that with our listeners. They're all very enthusiastic and willing to promote issues, etc., however they can. So we're giving them another two ways to do that. We're giving you another two ways to do that at our website, issuesetc.org. On the support page, you will find the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. This is not rocket science. This is not, nobody needs a marketing degree to pull this one off. Your church has a bulletin board. We have a bulletin board flyer. A couple thumbtacks later, and Issues Etc. is being promoted at your church every Sunday. Or if you'd like to take the contact information for Issues Etc. with you wherever you go, we have the Issues Etc. business cards that you can download, print off on suitable stock, cut along the lines, and there you have 10 of them per page. You can hand them out to whoever is interested, even to people who aren't interested in Issues Etc. Thank you in advance to our many faithful listeners who, through this and many other ways, help promote Issues Etc. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about the power of fatherhood and also media coverage of World Youth Day. It looks a little bit like, if you add up this study and then other studies and research, even studies that come from within the very heart of Pop American Christianity, the evidence has become, it has mounted, it has now reached that critical mass, it can no longer be denied that what Pop American Christianity, the church growth movement and everything that flew out from it, promised 30 to 40 years ago has not been fulfilled. They promised that if we acted more like the culture, thought more like the culture, marketed more like the culture, messaged more like the culture, that we would grow the church. We haven't. We've just grown the culture, not the church. Let's preach Christ and Him crucified. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.